All right, we're back with Around the Mat episode. I don't even know at this point. I'm just having fun out here, pooting and pointing people. So I'm your host, Conscious Keelan. We're going to roll right into this thing. Everybody wants to talk about Mikey and Gio, so we're going to get right into that beef. Introducing first, the man, the myth, the fedora-wearing legend, Brandon McCathren.
Hello, neighbors.
And also joining us, as always, we have 10th Planet Black Belt, Matt Scaff.
What's up, guys? I'm here to redeem myself. Last week was a it was really tough. It was kind of heartbreaking how poorly I did. So I've got some hot takes for you guys today, and I'm ready to dethrone the champ.
All right. Joining us also for the first time on Around the Mat, we've got 10th Planet Black Belt, Phil Schwartz.
What's up, guys? Happy to be here, and I'm excited to win some money off of Scaff and BMAC.
All right. Also joining us today from 10th Planet Austin, Texas, we got Mary.
What's up, y'all? I love talking shit, so this I feel like it's going to be a breeze.
Oh, jeez.
She came in talking trash right out the gate. A breeze. I don't know what you're in for, Mary. I'm going to rough you up. Think because you're a girl, we're not gonna smack you around. You lost your mind.
I think because I'm a girl, I'm gonna win this shit. Cookie power.
Hey, before we get started, Keelan, there's an idea brought up backstage that we should actually gamble on this. We should actually gamble, and I say that that's a good idea. Put some consequences on these words. These foolish words that come from these children.
Dollars or cryptocurrency?
Crypto, for sure. We got to gamble some crypto. I'm thinking something small. Something small to start off with. A little something light. Scaff, 5 Cardano.
Okay, between me and you?
Yeah, at least between me and you.
Okay. I'm game for whatever.
Okay. All right. Keelan, you tell them how the points work real quick.
Yeah, so you see the topics right here on the agenda. We're going to all take turns talking about each one of these. If you have a good point, something good to say, a hard, hot take, we give you a point. And if you say something dumb, you get one of these. Winner at the end has the most points, and they get the screen to themselves to plug or say whatever they'd like.
And whoever wins between me and Scaff gets 5 Cardano from the other guy.
Yeah, in about 6 months, that 5 Cardano is going to be
about $20.
Hopefully.
Something like that.
Yeah. Hopefully, Phil.
Hey, Keelan, roll up and let's acknowledge the new member we got up here.
Yep, new member.
That's Robert Card. What is it? Cardona.
No, Cardano.
Cardano. That's Robert Cardano.
He's a perfect member.
Yeah, so what that means is that he joined the YouTube channel, which you can do if you're watching, unless you're watching on iPhone. If you're watching on iPhone, it's not available. But if you're on desktop or on Android, you're going to go over to the video over there under the video, and it's going to say join, and then you can choose your membership level. That's going to give you access to all of my live streamed classes. It's going to give you access to watch all our curriculum after the fact, 99 cents a month. You could choose to do more, but pretty much everybody gets the same thing. You're just choosing how much you want to support the channel. But you can do that for 99 cents and get access to like a bunch of members only videos, custom emojis, badges, shout outs, etc. Okay, I wanted to make sure I tried to make some money off these people before doing anything else.
All right. Should we roll right into it?
Let's do it.
All right, so Rodolfo Vieira had a back take in the UFC this past weekend, was it?
Yes.
If you haven't seen it, I'll play the clip. But let's talk about it. What do y'all think? Is he one of the top-level jiu-jitsu guys in the UFC? Let's hear your take.
Well, you know, everybody was kind of low on Rodolfo for just a hot minute there. Because he looked more than kind of rough in his last outing. His last outing, he got his opponent exactly where he wanted him, put him down against the cage, had him in an arm triangle, and not only could he not close the deal, but he gassed himself out in his chosen discipline. So a lot of people were really curious, what's Rodolfo, me included, what's Rodolfo going to look like coming out? Redemption. Rodolfo did what Ryan Hall should have done. Rodolfo played jiu-jitsu the way it was supposed to be played. And Ryan Hall, he didn't have the ability to get the fight to the floor in a conventional way. and that backfired on him. So, yeah, I think that Adolfo looked amazing. I think we can officially jump back on the Adolfo train. That's where I'm standing right now.
Scaff, what do you got?
See, I'm going to buy Adolfo Vieira's stock, but for one reason. Adolfo is going to produce highlights, whether he's getting highlighted or he's producing the highlight. The dude doesn't have any cardio. He is too muscular. All right. The big issue with Adolfo, and when he lost to that purple belt, you know, and that guy's he's a good grappler. You know, he ended up getting darshed. We're seeing an ADCC world champion get darshed by a guy that's probably, you know, just a pretty good grappler. It's cardio issues. And I think we're going to see this more and more from Adolfo, where he's having to either he's going to get a spectacular finish or he's getting finished. I just do not see him ever reaching top 10 status, but man, I think he's going to be a fun guy to watch over the next few years if he can kind of keep his head up. And I'm happy for him for sure. That back take was one of the best back takes I've seen. I think the Kron's back take, in his first UFC fight, it really reminded me a lot of that kind of up against the cage, kind of a standing back take, beautiful choking finish. But I just don't see Adolfo putting together a 3, 4, or 5 fight win streak.
Phil?
First of all, I want to say that I think that Adolfo did something really smart, which is that he kept the fight mostly on the feet during the first round. I think the first round they stayed on their feet, and he actually didn't look that bad in his striking. So actually, I thought that was a good way to start for any BJJ athlete. I think if you're a BJJ athlete and you don't have a good, decent stand-up game, you're really not going anywhere. And we've seen that story play out a bunch of times. So I think the first thing that he did well in the fight was he kept it on the feet. He established the distance. He did get beat up also a little bit later in the second. But if you can play the clip again, there's something I want to point out for the technique heads out there. Right here, pause right here. So you're going to see that what he does the whole time before he takes the back, he keeps an incredible amount of shoulder pressure behind the head of the opponent. And he's essentially putting all his weight, breaking the posture of the opponent with that shoulder pressure. If you can play it one more time, you can see that heavy shoulder pressure, and that allows him to create a surface that he can kind of hop and spin on right there, boom, and get those hooks in. If he didn't have that shoulder pressure, his opponent probably would have just stood right up, and it wouldn't have been as slick as it was. So,
Mary?
When I was watching it, I was just basically impressed with kind of what Phil said, like with that shoulder pressure, because when I'm trying to get on someone's back, especially like being the smaller person, usually as the my opponent, at least that, you know, practice, when they're trying to move around like that, like I'm not able to usually get that arm in and grip very well enough where, like, you know, he tapped almost right away as soon as he fell back, you know, like I feel like he was probably directly on that blood choke. That to me was pretty impressive. I'm not super versed with all of his game or how well the rest of his jiu-jitsu is, but I was impressed with how fast he was able to get his opponent to tap once he locked in that choke.
Yeah, did he tap? Yeah, I think he went to sleep, didn't he?
I think he went out.
Watch him back here.
The thing about MMA jiu-jitsu, which is different, is that when your heart is pounding that hard, you go out a lot faster.
Yeah, no doubt.
Didn't he tap right there? Did you see that? Like the ref kind of stepped in the way, but he went like this.
He tapped, but he also went to sleep right at the end.
Oh, he got one of those.
Yeah, I mean, that's super good. I have been tapped super, like in practice before, Priscilla. Like when someone gets a blood choke on me right away, I mean, it's crazy to me how fast it can go, because I've never been able to quite do that to somebody else. I don't know if it's short ass arms or my big ass muscles getting away of me getting around, but like, you know, that to me was impressive. He locked it in right away while the opponent was still moving.
See, I think we're two fights away from seeing Adolfo never use jiu-jitsu unless he happens to get taken down. He is going to become a stand-up guy. He was headhunting a little bit, and I was with you, Phil, in the first round. I like that he didn't shoot the takedown, because that's what got him gassed in his previous fight. He tried the takedown early, went for a submission, fell off the top, and then died to a purple belt. And I think we're going to see him take a more – heavy boxing stance and really work his boxing. And I wouldn't be shocked to see Adolfo, you know, completely change the way he fights, just because I just don't think he has the wrestling and the cardio to really wrestle the way he needs to use his jiu-jitsu. So that's what I'm thinking. I think our days of seeing Adolfo is like the jiu-jitsu flag, one of the jiu-jitsu flag bearers, is almost over?
I don't know, man. I want to. You brought up how he used his stand-up. He used his boxing specifically, and that's exactly what got Ryan. Oh, that came up with him. I think that was Ryan Hall. He didn't have boxing range, and if you don't have boxing range, then you're not in range for a takedown. No, what is going on? Somebody, y'all have got to cut that out. If you can't get into boxing range, then you can't get into wrestling range. And that's what Rodolfo did do, though, is he was able to use his boxing to get out into wrestling range and engage in the clinch, and that's what eventually got into the back. Ryan didn't have enough confidence in his boxing to step into that range and get it to the floor, which is why he had to try the crazy style takedowns from the outside. So super interesting. I thought that was a super interesting point.
And Ryan, like, the problem with it is that, like, at the end of the day, you have to find the strategies that are going to play out over and over again. And, like, just because you're Ryan Hall and you can hit a crazy outside finish one time in the UFC, like, that doesn't mean that that's going to work for you every fight. That's not a fighting style overall that's going to be successful in MMA. Like, shooting Imanaris from the outside is not going to be an MMA successful strategy.
Not consistently, at least.
Not consistently, yeah, for sure.
You can see it come, but if a guy knows that that's in your bag of tricks, it's way less likely that you're going to be able to pull it off. You know, if we see some, I don't know, Yair Rodriguez come out and kickbox for the first round, and then he opens round two with an Imanari roll, that might take somebody by surprise, you know what I mean?
For sure.
When you're Ryan Hall and everybody knows that you just want to get in on the legs or just engage with that long-distance shot like that, it's just so hard to get in range. The shot comes from too far away.
So would you all say too, it's kind of a question here, but like most guys in the UFC, I feel like their weakest martial arts often is jiu-jitsu. I mean, they may not be super weak, but I feel like that's one of the ones that sometimes when I've seen the matches has been somewhat neglected. So like if that was like my top thing in my toolbox, you know, I would want to keep that sharp. I'd still want to go there. Of course, like it's going to depend on your opponent, right? Like I'm going to maybe, if I am skilled enough in different areas, I'm going to maybe change my tactic, right? If this guy's got no jiu-jitsu, I might try to get him to the ground and take jiu-jitsu. So I don't know if he would just like stop using that altogether, you know, or not really.
Surprise, man. I feel like guys do abandon their strengths a lot of times when they come to MMA because they recognize, like say a guy like Rodolfo, let's just continue to use him as an example. He comes in, he's got some of the most elite jiu-jitsu on the planet. He knows what elite feels like. And then when he gets out there and does striking and wrestling, particularly striking, I'm sure, striking and wrestling with some of these guys who are mid-tier even, and he feels inadequate, he goes, okay, I have excellence in this one category. I can't continue to have mediocrity in these other two. And he starts to take that obsession and filter it out over the other disciplines within the martial arts.
But then what happens?
Well, what happens is you end up with Roy Nelson, who has a little bit of success and falls in love with an overhand right.
Well, the biggest issue, though, think about Rodolfo. What is he known for? Guard passing. Nobody's pulling guard in the UFC. So he can't even use his most elite skill. I mean, Rodolfo wasn't known as a finisher. He wasn't known as like a wrestler. He wasn't known he was known as a guard. That's why people studied him, and no one's going to pull guard on him. And so I think he's finding like, man, I can't get into my A game. I can't find a way into my A game. And so he just looks like a guy that's kind of lost right now in there as he fights better and better competition, that he can't get into the spots where he can have success.
But also, like, can I throw a hot take out there? When skills are perishable. Skills are perishable. So when you're an elite wrestler and you come into the UFC, you got to work on your boxing, your kickboxing, your cage work, and your jiu-jitsu. That means you're not doing as many, you're not doing the things that made you an NCAA champion in wrestling. You're not doing three wrestling practices a day. You're filling those time with boxing, all this other stuff. So yeah, you're becoming more well-rounded, but jiu-jitsu might be the thing that he's focused the least on right now because he has that experience and that he needs to put the time into boxing.
All right, let's move on down the agenda. So, Cannon Duarte versus Deniz. Quick match this past week. What do y'all think? How did Cannon look?
I'll say it. Cannon's the best guy in the world right now. He's the best guy. If Gordon is not competing, Cannon's the best guy. Kynan's going to win gold at ADCC. That is a guarantee. He is only training no gi. That's the thing that excites me the most. We've got Mikey and now Kynan saying, no, I only train no gi. Every no gi head should just be ecstatic. I mean, you're talking about two of the premier gi guys going, ugh, gi, there's nothing out there for me. And I think Kynan, if he takes the next year and a half right before this, I guess it's going to be a year for the next ADCC. I think he can really contend. And I mean, I think he's going to win gold in his weight, and he's the double gold favorite for sure. I mean, we saw Denise versus, Denise versus multiple other guys. I mean,
Craig Jones.
I mean, he's 2-0 against Craig Jones. And Kynan, that foot sweep was maybe the best technique I saw all weekend. I mean, talk about beautiful. Just boom, pops it right in. The back step right to the honey hole finish with a Texas clover leaf. It doesn't get much better than that.
So, listen, Duarte looked phenomenal. I'm not here to take anything away from Duarte. He looked great. You called that ahead of time, too, Scaff. I didn't think that was going to be the big finish, but that was the finish of the night, other than, the great match from Jimenez.
Rotolo,
but the best finish of the night was that Texas Cloverleaf. But does that really speak to how amazing Duarte is, or does it speak to how behind a guy like Denise is when he gets caught in the leg game? Because let's be real. At the highest levels, who taps to a Texas Cloverleaf?
Well, okay, I gotta jump in here for a second. Can we roll the tape again? So this is a Texas Cloverleaf is normally an ankle on ankle compression where you're essentially straight ankle locking the guy with his own foot, right?
Yeah.
That's not what happened here, although it looks like that's what happened here. So if you can zoom in or pause on the finish, what you're going to see is in order to get the Texas Cloverleaf pressure, he has to drop his shoulder down, pushing down on the toes. And I'm going to show you the angle right here. Pop, oh, boom, right there. It's not that much shoulder pressure. What Kynan is doing is he's getting a extended lateral knee bar on the inside leg. He's pulling the leg out, back, and sideways, and he's not really focusing as much on dropping the shoulder down on the ankle. So I see this as less of an ankle lock finish, which I agree with you, BMAC, who would tap to that. I see this as a lateral knee bar finish from this double position. Yeah, so again,
we were trying to decide, is it the Texas Cloverleaf or is it the knee bar? Scaff's initial take was that's the knee bar. I see the knee bar pressure, but I don't think an experienced leg locker's tapping to that knee bar pressure either.
Oh man.
Not in that position. I don't know, man. When do we see it? I just don't ever see anybody getting laced. First of all, who gets laced up like that at the highest level now?
Well, let's
don't get laced that deep.
To put it,
sure, don't tap to anything except the inside heel hook.
He wouldn't tap Craig with that same move. He couldn't tap Gordon with that same move.
No.
He couldn't tap any of the top level leg lockers with that move.
And that's my point right there. That's my point right there. Is did Duarte do something incredible? Yes. Can I tap Denise? God no. But can anybody tap Denise at that level? Can anybody tap Denise with leg locks if they get in on him? Maybe yes.
Maybe so.
I was going to say about Kynan, and I'm not saying his name right, by the way. I always said it the other way. But his stand-up game's got more impressive. He's done, I feel like he came from behind and tried to, work on things, right? Stand-up game, his leg lock defense. But I also think, his leg lock offense, now he's going in and attacking more. But I feel like you can't say, is he more impressive than Gordon Bryant until you see them together, you know? I think back of Michael Jordan stuff when people were asking, who's better, Michael Jordan, whoever else they want to say. You have to see them together, right? A healthy Gordon Bryant with him, right? That's what I want to see. I don't feel like I could, in my professional blue belt opinion, don't feel like I could throw that in, who's going to be more who's going to be more impressive, other than I think I know which one's more athletic. You know, I don't think that Gordon Bryant is that athletic.
Whoa. You can't have abs like Gordon Ryan and not be athletic.
I say this based off his, what his coaches said about him, like when I listened to it.
Of course that's what his coaches say. His coaches also say Nicky Ryan's been training for 6 weeks still. Anything they can do to make them – that's a point. Anything that they can make themselves do to sound cool, of course that's what you're supposed to do for your athletes.
But, like, you ever, like, with Gordon Ryan, like, I feel like he is the slower athlete normally. Like, and he'll, of course, he says that about himself even, but I think that kind of is the more athletic, the faster speed. But I would be very interested to see, like, how Gordon Ryan prepares for that being healthy and just, like, the mental jiu-jitsu that guy does, you know?
I think
more impressive.
I think that Gordon knows that moving slowly, it's going to be almost impossible for someone to tap him or catch him. Whereas if he jumps into the upper pace, then it's a lot more likely that he'll get, you know, off balance or something bad could happen or something can get caught. And this is a trick that experienced players play with new guys all the time is if you think you want to go fast with me, I'll be faster and smoother than you. If you think you want to slow it down, like I'm more comfortable with that speed than you are. So it's like the ability to control the pace of the match. Like Gordon dominates the pace of the match, every match.
Well, let's think about Gordon, though, his evolution. When he was in the smaller weight classes, he flowed. He moved so much more. Think about his worst performance to date, right? The one performance where he almost lost. That EBI, he was not that impressive, where he almost lost to Craig Jones. He couldn't finish the dude from the Barrios gym. He looked sluggish. He didn't move very well because he had just added all of that weight. And I think when he added all of that weight, he realized, like, man, if I try and be athletic, I'm going to get tired. I can't move as good. I need to change my game. And then he changed it to a much more negation-based game. But when Gordon Ryan, my opinion, when I enjoyed watching Gordon the most, when he won that absolute, when he was about 180, when he was flowing and beating guys, man, I mean, he was a killer athlete. But that size, it's definitely taken its toll on his movement ability.
Maybe his guts as well.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, too.
So we have a question here in the comments. We're talking about Kynan and like winning ADCC. I think Matt even said he's going to win gold this next year.
No.
Do people really think Gordon isn't going to show up to ADCC?
Gordon is definitely going to show up to ADCC. He's definitely going to enter the bracket, and he's definitely going to win it. Nobody here. This is not even a hot take. This is just follow the science. Gordon Ryan is not beatable until somebody beats him. And right now, not only is he not beatable, but you don't get out without tapping. And I don't care who you are. How good did Roberto Jimenez look the other night? Was he not amazing? He was incredible. Gordon turned his lights out. Gordon dominated him and picked his sub ahead of time. Did we forget about this? Gordon is coming back, and he is unbeatable until proven otherwise. He's going to – not only is he going to beat you, he's going to tap you until somebody throws otherwise.
I agree with that.
I think Scaff and I wouldn't mind seeing him pick the pace up, though.
I don't mind it, dude. He's showing the best jiu-jitsu. He has flawless jiu-jitsu right now. He almost never makes a technical mistake. So – whatever pace you need to play to be the best in the world and put people away. He's not just the best. He's the best, and he puts people away. Whatever that game looks like, that's the game I want to see.
But we're talking about ADCC rules. If this was who's number one or sub only, I hear you guys. I hear you, Mary. I hear you, Brandon. But we're talking ADCC rules. I mean, him and Hulk run that match back 10 times. I mean, Hulk almost scored 3 different times. Like, he almost beat Gordon. And Kynan is so much bigger, better than Hulk. She's so much bigger and better than Hulk. I mean, Kynan is a finisher. He can do it all. I mean, he's the only guy that's been able to handle Nicky Rod, right? We've seen Nicky Rod run through everybody except Kynan. Kynan subbed him, and Kynan beat him decisively on points. I mean, Kynan is the premier athlete right now. Again, if Gordon's not there, Gordon is number one. Look, he's still number one, but man, I think Kynan's making a statement. And if he keeps up this no-gi trend like he's doing, man, I think him and Gordon have a showdown.
Well, I know this isn't on the agenda, but did you see the improvement in Nicky Ryan's wrestling in the last?
I was just about to bring that up.
In the last one. So it's clear that I would guess if you're in Danaher's camp right now, there's very, very little talk about submission only rules, and every single practice is focused on ADCC rule set, getting ready for that. And I also don't think that Gordon's not training right now. I bet Gordon is training. He's not talking that much about it. You know, he's not making any promises, but I bet you those guys are doing ADCC points wrestling every single day.
Yeah. Nikki was up. Both Nikki's were up at our gym last week, and I got to watch them like play around, and there was definitely a wrestling going on there, you know, flowing through. And one of the guys was talking about how Nikki Ryan has like an amazing body lock pass, because I've been working my body lock passes since I took Nikki Rod's seminar the other week. And they were like, yeah, I mean, he can body lock pass, you know, Nikki Rod. But just talking about him working on his wrestling and how much he is doing that, like, it was fun to watch. I can't catch up on all of it, but it's dope to see.
All right. Let's see. Let's move on. So the big one that everybody's been wanting to talk about, Gio versus Mikey. It was a great match. Mikey won by points. There was a little bit of beef. Talk to me.
Okay. I've definitely – my opinion on this has definitely cooled over the last few days. But I had – I don't know. I didn't understand – first of all, let me say this. I like what Mikey had to say as far as the respect and trying to have higher ideals for jiu-jitsu. I like what he had to say. I'm that kind of person as well. But Gio's my boy. And what I think was misplaced was that Mikey was trying to lay all these things about respect and all these true things about martial arts. He was trying to lay those on Gio's head, which I thought was very unfair. So Gio was talking a little trash. I don't know how Mikey got offended, if I'm being honest with you. Like, I think you got to get a thicker skin if you're going to stay in the professional sports game. You know? To say that somebody doesn't deserve their black belt, that's way more disrespectful than anything that Gio said to him. It's way more – that's like the most disrespectful thing that you could say to a martial artist, that you don't deserve your black belt. And then you walk up to his coach and try to pitch the same fit, and you're telling one of the legends of the sport that he doesn't know what a black belt is. I don't know, man. I think that that doesn't bode well. But I also saw that he came on later and he apologized for getting so worked up, said he just got a little emotional. I get that too. I definitely understand that. So my opinion on it is definitely cool, but – I was all Team Gio to start off with, for sure, and I still am.
I think that just who's number one, ADCC. I think ADCC rules have some serious flaws in them. That I think that if ADCC's goal is to encourage submission wrestling, I think that the rules, you know, need change. And I think Mo Jassim has talked about instituting some stalling calls that would try to escalate the pace in the submission only realm. But I mean, all of the beef aside, I thought it was a great match, but I also thought that, you know, Gio kind of got dominated and that Mikey had a really great performance and that, you know, the entanglements looked really good. Mikey's performance looked really good. And, you know, just from a pure jiu-jitsu standpoint, I would love to see those two guys run that back in a format that was not a points-based format, but that was a submission-only-based format, because I think that that's where Gio really shines, and he's one of the hardest and one of the best in the world. So I think that those are two great competitors, and, you know, I look forward to seeing them compete again, but I think in this format, Mikey kind of dominated.
I'm going to be honest, like, when I heard about it, like, at the risk of sounding disrespectful, I just didn't really care that much. I feel like there's bigger problems in the world. And I also know Gio. So I really, really like Gio, and I don't know Mikey at all. But like, Gio's also like a really fucking good dude who on like seems like on a moral stand code and how he treats people around him, how he treats his students, how much he pours into his students. Definitely deserves his black belt, again, coming from like my humble blue belt opinion. But my first thought when I first saw it was like, I don't care. I mean, there's just other big problems, you know, and like get a thicker skin. Conflict usually helps bring attention to the sport. So if nothing else, I mean, maybe it brought more attention to jiu-jitsu.
So I got two big beefs, right? One, Mikey, first minute after the match, okay, cool. Like, you didn't like the way Dio, you thought he was disrespectful, great. But then he started to get a little homeschooly. He started to just get a little like, I grew up with participation trophies. Like, it was just a little cringy listening to him talk about friends and friendships. Like, this is the guy that's bounced around from camp to camp to camp to camp because he can't work with people. So I don't want to hear him talk about friendship and loyalty and stuff like that and respect. Now, after the match, Gio rubbed me the wrong way, like many 10th Planet guys do. Gio, I'm with you, Phil. Gio had a good performance, but Mikey's on another level. Mikey looked a level better than Gio in any format. I mean, he had all the good sub attempts. So when we're talking about an arm lock, the arm lock entry was disgusting. Beat him in the legs and then took his back. And yes, Gio's defense has always been amazing. I mean, nobody taps Gio Martinez. I mean, I guess his last time he got tapped was by, was it Tanquinho by toehold at ADCC? Like, was that the last time?
No. Was it Bruno Frazado?
Oh, it was Bruno Frazado. You're right. It was Bruno Frazado. And then he avenged that match and should have broken Bruno's leg in that ADCC super fight match they had. But anyways, so Gio's been tapped one time at Black Belt, I think. Or no, excuse me. And Bill Cooper tapped him as well.
Yeah.
And anyways, so two guys have tapped Gio, but Gio hasn't been tapped in a long time. But I feel like Gio's been playing it safe. Seems like a lot of his matches look very similar. A lot of double guard pulls. He doesn't really try and pass. And he hasn't had a submission in 3 years. And so for him to kind of call for a sub-only match right after that seemed really weird to me. Just like, I mean, you lost. And look, the guy was super disrespectful, saying you didn't deserve your black belt. You went out there. As always, I mean, everybody in 10th Planet is a samurai. I really, you guys know, I'm a 10th Planet black belt. 10th Planet is the best squad in the game. But that's the one thing I don't really like is like, man, you can't call for sub-only matches after you got beat pretty thoroughly and you haven't been submitting. You haven't had a submission in quite a few years. So I would like to see the old Gio back, the guy that was running and taking chances. And I get it. He's facing the top level guys and he is the number one ranked in the world at 145. But I want to see the Gio that's trying everything he can to submit his opponent instead of win decisions and eke out point victories.
Go, Mary, go.
Someone in the comments had a good suggestion of like, all right, let's get them into a combat jiu-jitsu match. Just let them take it out, which I think also with all this beef behind it would be great for the jiu-jitsu world. So I feel like that'd be, I'd watch it.
I think that
super magic.
Something that people need to remember too is that jiu-jitsu puts miles and years on your body, and the what they say that the average across all sports of a professional athlete's career is 7 years. Okay, that includes golf, basketball, football. Guy that gets his ACL blown on day one. When you turn pro, your average career length is 7 years long. Gio has been Polaris, Quintet. I mean EBI. Gio has been putting 10th Planet and on his back and years and miles on his body. You know what I mean? Mikey is young, fresh, you know, biologically a lot younger than Gio is right now. So, you know, all athletes get older and have difficulties as they age and their body, you know, starts to not serve them as well as it used to.
You know, I really like beef and I really like drama. In jiu-jitsu, I do. I think it's fun. I think it makes combat sports fun. I think it gives us something to pull for. It gives us a heel, gives us a baby face, gives us a story to attach to, which is the story is what makes us want to be fans of people, right? So, you know, I know it's an interesting world because we're trying to bring the martial arts, which is about way more than just winning and losing, right? Like people are like, jiu-jitsu is about more than that. Yeah, jiu-jitsu is, but this is a professional sport that's based on jiu-jitsu, right? And so we need that drama. But having said that, I think that the way that Flo tried to play up the drama took away from and distracted from the fact that with Gordon out of the picture, Mikey might be the number one pound-for-pound guy in the world. Like, he's phenomenal. He's unbelievable. And I thought Gio actually had a great match, man. I thought he played a pretty good strategy. He proved himself nearly impossible to tap. And, you know, he had a couple of good plays on the leg there himself that obviously Mikey won the match, but I don't think Gio should leave that feeling like he didn't do good work. He just ran into a buzzsaw that's the best guy in the world right now. And I think that the drama kind of overshadowed the us talking about, wow, how good is Mikey?
B-Mac, don't you think that after the Galvao Gordon slap fest, that Flo is looking for those real blow up drama moments? Like, I mean, we haven't quite reached the reality TV level yet, but don't you think we're heading that way a little bit?
Yeah, I think we are. I think they're looking for it. And if I'm being honest with you, I think they should be. That's their job. Their job is to promote. Like, what's the job of a promoter? It's in the name. Promote. Their job is to promote matches, to promote a sport. Do they want to promote the art of jiu-jitsu? They want to promote furthering jiu-jitsu across and spreading? Yes, I'm sure. But what's their job? They run an entertainment business, and they are a fight promoter. Let's promote it, and let's be entertaining. We're using jiu-jitsu to make a sport. We would all agree that there's a difference between self-defense and jiu-jitsu. Self-defense, the random white belt that wants to learn to defend himself. What does he take from jiu-jitsu? And then what does Mikey Musumeci do in a match? Those are, I don't want to say they're two different things. They're two different parts of the same thing, though. And we're taking the whole of jiu-jitsu and making a sport out of it. And that sport has to, if we want to be professional, it has to be promoted and it has to be entertaining. And if we're all just going to sit around like a bunch of dorks wringing our hands and going, well, that wasn't the pure water. So miss me with that, dude. I'm trying to see people get dunked on. I'm trying to see arms broken, and I'm trying to see people upset with one another. It's a sport.
Well, think about the PGF. What did people love about the PGF? The two most fascinating parts. Evan Stapler going in there, ruffling the feathers, talking trash, rubbing his hands all in people's faces, and taking out higher-ranked dudes as a blue belt. Like, Evan Stapler makes you want to watch jiu-jitsu, right? Like, made people want to watch the PGF.
Love him or hate him.
Hunter Colvin was phenomenal, dude. Hunter is a world-class black belt. But he didn't have as much fanfare as Evan, as much as Elijah Carlton. Like, people like the bad guy. They like the heels, and Flo is dying. If Gordon's not competing, they don't have their heel anymore. They're like, that's please, right. But they're turning to Mikey Musumeci as their heel. They need to rethink that strategy. They need to really rethink that strategy and try and find somebody a little more imposing.
Neither Gio nor Mikey wants to play the role of heel. But there are guys out there that want to do it. Are they good enough right now? Right now, Craig's the star. But mm-hmm. Craig's the star because he's the people's champion. Like, everybody loves Craig. But we don't have a heel. We don't have a real heel right now. Even when Gordon's in, he's a heel, but he's on the same team as the people's champion. Like, come on, man. We need some people to hate each other. It's good for the sport when there's rivalries. That's what makes you grow, dude. You got to kind of hate the other guy to really dig in and find your best. I know, Brandon, that's not part of it. Well, yes, it is. Call me.
UFC, I mean, the beef's right there, you know? Like, I mean, it's if we're wanting to get as big as that, right? I mean, that's a big part of it. I don't see why people were so upset about it.
Brandon, you just brought up something really interesting, Brandon. Do you think that there's a time in the future where maybe Gordon and Craig split up and they're not on the same team anymore? Because, how's Craig going to become number one if he's on DDS?
Dude, it's just like the plot.
He just did. He destroyed his stomach health.
Yeah,
this is the plot of Ricky Bobby. Hey, how about I'm just thinking, Ricky, maybe every now and then you could let me win. Well, Cal, if I let you win, then
Craig Burns ends up with Natalia.
Great point.
Yeah, Craig he moves into Gordon's house. He takes his cars, his like his American made cars with all their horsepower. And you see Nat just in the driver's seat giving him a shoulder massage. That's the Craig Jones the people want.
I would love to see that.
That's what I'm saying.
Right now they're shaking bait, but
yeah.
You know. Shaking bait.
All right, let's move on down the agenda. So coming up next, match of the year. We've had a bunch of good matches this year. Do any of them stand out? If you had to pick one,
I'm ready.
What do you pick?
I'm ready. This one we just saw the other night, Jimenez versus Lotolo. To me, that's the match of the year. That was one of the most exciting matches I've ever seen in my life. It was non-stop blitzing. They were blitzing each other. And Rotolo's ability, it's like people just bounce off of him. It's the wildest thing I've ever seen. But we also saw how much of his game is based on cardio. And Roberto was able to keep pushing and keep pushing until that initial cardio blast kind of wore down. And as soon as there was as Cade needed to take a chance to gather himself, Roberto was on him and he put him away. That was one of my favorite matches ever. And I love Roberto's speech at the end. That's the real hero we needed. That's the hero we needed. He's trying to further himself as a martial artist, right? Everybody, like, people want to raise Mikey as, he knows what a black belt's all about. What Mikey's doing is he's saying, these are my morals. And if you don't meet these morals and you don't meet these standards, then you're not a real black belt. What Roberto said was, if you're a man that's chasing excellence and pursuing excellence within yourself, then you're a real black belt. And to me, that's the example that we need to be laying down for future generations. Not, if you don't do it the way I say to do it, then you're not a real black belt. Okay, sorry, I got off on a rant there. I get excited.
I thought that was a great match. I loved watching that match. That was a really exciting one. I think it's a little too soon to say because we have some good matches coming up still in the rest of the year. But another match that happened recently that was also a barn burner for me was Andy Varela versus Pedro Mourinho at Submission Underground.
That was a sick match.
Did you guys watch that?
I don't know if you saw
that one. That was I'm getting impressed with Pedro Mourinho. And part of it's because of how impressed I am with all the guys that he's fucking beat. He beat Jimenez. He heel hooked Jimenez somehow. He beat Varela. He lost to Kyle Bohm. Kyle Bohm is a savage. And so now Kyle Bohm is going to face Mason Fowler coming up in Submission Underground. We're going to see that match. But that's going to be a pace match. That's going to be a technical match. Mourinho versus Andy Varela. Everyone that wants to go watch 5 minutes of action, go watch that shit because it's incredible. And Mourinho looks a lot bigger than Andy, and Andy never backs down. His wrestling is incredible, but Mourinho's ability to jump on a submission, keep it, and take it the distance is really, really impressing me right now.
You know, there's a lot of good candidates, and you could throw almost any. I think the names you guys have mentioned, I couldn't agree more. I think Pedro Mourinho is one of the – maybe the most underrated guy in the scene right now. He's got Roberto's number, and he's incredible. There's a match. I can't remember if it happened last year or this year. I'm pretty sure it happened this year, but if it didn't, I'm going to go ahead and talk about Gordon Ryan versus Wagner. I just loved everything about that Gordon Ryan versus Wagner match. You know, you had a guy come out that it had the story behind it and that there was beef, like a legitimate beef. I mean, I remember when Wagner was kind of bullying Gordon in his early days. I remember him slapping the crown off his head. I mean, that was at that Zapatero event. And that was a long time ago, but Gordon didn't forget that. And Wagner's always kind of been there going, Gordon this, Gordon that, Gordon can't do this, Gordon can't beat me, you know. I remember when they had their match at the EBI finals, and Wagner, in his defense, I mean, he had Killers Row. I mean, he had Craig Jones that day. He had Joe Bays that day. I mean, he went to OT with everybody. And, you know, he ends up getting tapped by Gordon, but he was like, look, I was on the mat for over an hour. Gordon, like, he can't do that to me. And regulate. He can't do that to me if I haven't had three wars. And Gordon got to come out there and he got to really put on a display that nobody else has been able to do. He made Wagner Rocha look like a child. They were talking trash during the match. I thought that was really cool to watch. It was just a fun match all around. We got to see a guy, the Michael Jordan of our sport, you know, put on a Michael Jordan level performance and really just show everybody that, hey, hey, even if I leave with this stomach issue, you're going to remember me because of that performance, because nobody else can do that to Wagner. Nobody else can even get close to doing what I just did to one of the best guys in the world.
But isn't Gordon like 40 or 50 pounds heavier than Wagner and Jimenez? Like, I know it's great to watch him dominate Jimenez and Wagner, and I agree with you, Scaff, it was a good match, and Gordon said exactly what he was going to do before the match, but doesn't he outweigh these guys by like 40 pounds or more?
You know, there's a lot of truth to that, and it's been one of the big criticisms, but nobody will face Gordon.
Nobody will fight him.
Except Kynan. Kynan will, but Gordon won't fight Kynan. And that's for a whole nother, that's a whole nother issue.
How about Gordon versus Orlando Souza?
Orlando Sanchez. Man. Yeah, that would be fun. I'd actually love to for that matchup to get made. I bet Gordon would love that match.
That'd be a good match. That guy.
Mary, match of the year.
For me, it was also the Gordon and Wagner. I mean, I like the whole story behind it. I love watching the best. Like, I always loved watching Michael Jordan growing up. So watching Gordon Ryan, I mean, he is, to me, by far the best. And the fact that he calls the stuff beforehand, to me, it's like, okay, he's got a game plan. He's going to get this person into that. Like, you know, because I feel like doing jiu-jitsu right now, especially as a blue belt, they say don't get committed too much to, you know, one submission, right? You got to be able to manipulate the game and take different routes. But like Gordon, I wonder if he's just like, I'm going to pass up this, I'm going to pass up that, I'm going to pass up this submission because this is the one I called, you know? Or he just, I don't know, he just sets the trap. I don't know exactly what his mindset is, but I love watching him. And the way he kind of manhandled Wagner was, it was amazing to see.
That was a great match. Everybody enjoyed that match. I think people liked the drama better than they liked the match, though.
Maybe. Because
the match itself was pretty slow-paced, took a long time to cook. There was nothing slow pace about that Rotolo versus Jimenez match. Like, you could put that on for people and they don't have any clue what's going on. They can see the action and they can see that there's somebody's being threatened all the time. These two young studs flying around the mat trying to kill each other and grab a hold of one another, and nobody can keep their hands on the other guy. That's the way that a match of the year is supposed to work.
I personally
Jordan and Wagner pick, but that's not even close to match of the year compared to that one.
I personally liked the Cade versus Ethan match a little bit more. I have a thing for Darsh chokes. That Darsh finish was just absolutely incredible. And there was a lot of build up to that, you know, because that was right after the slap. And so we've got the Atos, you know, DDS rivalry going on. Ethan's put on about 15 pounds of pure horse meat. He's just looking like an absolute Greek god right now.
He's been eating that kangaroo meat.
Yeah, dude. And so a lot of people were thinking like, man, like Ethan's going to be really, really tough to beat. And Cade went out there, definitely popped his arm a few times in one of the craziest arm lock injuries ever. And he did that same injury though to Roberto. Roberto got out. But, man, that match was my runner-up. I really liked that match a lot.
Ethan seems to be susceptible to Darsh chokes for some reason.
Yeah, Max Roshkoff got him on the Shugyo Invitational.
Yeah, it happened.
That was a crazy.
Max is a beast, man.
Yeah, Max is a beast.
Max is a beast.
Shout out to the Shugyo. What's up?
Okay, before we move on here, I want to talk to the chat right quick. If y'all want to add any questions, drop them down in the comments and we will get to them. Last thing on the agenda, we've already touched on it, but let's get some hot takes here. Gordon Ryan, Kanan Duarte, who wins? How's it go?
Oof.
This is not even a hot take for me.
It's not a hot take if it's facts.
It's just scientifically, follow the science. Fact check me. Gordon will tap you until proven otherwise. Like Gordon versus anybody. You fill it in right there. Gordon versus nine black belts from Gracie Baja. Gordon versus Kanan. Gordon, anybody. Fill in the blank. Gordon versus anybody ends in a submission. Until proven otherwise. That's just the science. Like hard facts.
Who's going to pull guard?
I mean, Kanan's, in my opinion, Kanan's better on his feet.
Gordon has no problem pulling guard in that match, I think. I don't think he's going to want to, but I think if it goes, you know, it starts looking like it's not really going any direction, and we got to – we're talking ADCC rules here?
Yeah. What?
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think eventually Gordon might be willing to give the point just to get the game started, or he'd sit before the – you know, he'd probably sit before the 10-minute mark.
So I'm not the biggest fan of, like, Atos guys grappling. Like, oh, man, we've got Josh Inger going to get, like, don't care. We've got, you know, the Craig Jones match you just had recently with what's his name? You know, oh, my
Hulk?
Gosh, I'm blanking on it. No, not Hulk. The guy that he 50-50 heel hooked in, like, 6 minutes, but the guy didn't engage. Anyways, yeah, who's number one? But, like, Andre Gaval, don't care about watching Andre at all. Kynan and the Ritolos are finishers. Like, they finish people. Kynan is finishing everybody right now. Now, Gordon, still better than Kynan. But we know, especially with Gordon, I've heard him talk a lot about when he's not active on the competition scene, he really feels like it hurts his performances. And I think we've seen that a couple of times. Now, he did come back from that leg injury in ADCC, and just, you know, he looked amazing. But I think if we see Gordon sit out the rest of this year, and if he's looking to come back for ADCC, which I think is definitely the plan, man, I think we could see, especially if Kynan stays active, I think that match is really, really close and really becomes almost a 50-50 match, like who beats who.
I think anybody's doubt is going to fuel Gordon Ryan, and there's going to be probably – a lot of people that do doubt him being out this long and seeing how Kynan's working. So I think that doubt is going to feed him. And I just don't see anybody beating him.
Well, so got to feed him.
He lives for that.
Because of his belly. So he's going to have to live on doubt until he comes back.
He's been living on doubt, and he's still been kicking people's ass with his, like, shit-ass stomach. But he's been getting those stem cell injections from Waste Well, and apparently they've been helping, so – I don't know what the latest update is on that, but
this just fuels the conspiracy to me. I don't think he ever retired.
See,
Didn't he used to retire like a couple years ago too?
I think he was trying to draw Andre Galval out to say that he was definitely going to compete at ADCC. And now, as soon as they got the commitment from Andre, Gordon will be just fine.
That did happen.
That is exactly what happened.
That's me putting my Eddie Bravo hat on. Squarely. Squarely, firmly, tinfoil hat with ADCC.
But has Gordon been cleared to do the division, or is he only going to get the super fight?
No, he's been cleared to do the division. So he's going to do the division. I mean, last time we saw him do the under 99, so he did. He wasn't in the same division as Kynan last time, and Kynan is a big, big boy.
Is that the first time in ADCC history where, like, somebody who's been before is now cleared to do the division as well?
Most people are running from the division. I mean, most people just, they want to do the super fight.
That's the first
thing anybody's ever even asked to do it
before. No.
And so there's a possibility that Gordon wins his division. Kynan wins absolute. Gordon beats Andre in the super fight. And then it's Gordon versus Kynan in the next super fight.
Yeah.
That's a possibility. Because Kynan can still, by what you guys are saying, if Gordon and Kynan aren't even in the same division, Kynan can still get double gold and Gordon can get double gold. Gordon can win the super fight and his division. Kynan can win his division and absolute.
Yep. They could be two double gold.
And then that sets them up for the next super fight, which is Gordon versus Kynan.
That's awesome, Phil. That would be the most epic ADCC weekend ever. Two double golds in the same weekend. You talk about setting up a super fight.
Well, and especially if he beats Andre Galval.
He has to beat Galval in order for that to get set up.
Dude, here's the thing, though. Galval in ADCC rules is a monster, man. I mean, he's going to be – you talk about juice. You talk about probably half of Mexico's steroid supply is going to Atos right now, preparing him for that match. It's just the truth. He knows he got slapped so hard. He's not going to take any chances. He's doing stacks on stacks on stacks. I bet he's training wrestling right now, just collar tying a heavy bag right now, getting ready for that first collar tie with Gordon Ryan. He knows what's up. up. He knows Gordon's coming back, and man, that match is going to be insane.
I can't wait, dude. You know, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Galvao as a grappler. You know, he's not the most exciting guy to watch, but I mean, you got to make a strong case if you can say he's not one of the best of all time. You have to make a strong case because he's amazing. I'll take Gordon in that matchup all day, every day, though.
I'm burning on that.
We got a question here. What do you guys think about some of the big names in the jiu-jitsu scene that talk about honor and respect a lot? Do y'all find it fake? Do you like it? They said Gordon's online personality seems worse than who he actually is, and then the people that hate on him are the opposite. What do you guys think about that?
I think everybody's different, man. Like, and I think everybody can be different from time to time. Like, I always make jokes about how it's either it's killing season or it's the season of the Tao in my life, right? And so I think people can fluctuate from time to time. There's times when I feel that's the most important part of jiu-jitsu, and there's other times when I come in and I'm ready to take a head. You know what I'm saying? I'm ready to cut somebody's head off. So I think it's important to have a balance of both, but I don't want to say that I think it's fake every time somebody talks about respect and loyalty and all the beautiful characteristics that we're supposed to be striving for. I don't always think it's fake, but some people are fake, dude, and that's just the way it is. Some people are just fake. I'm definitely not saying that's what Mikey Musumeci was doing. I just think, like he said, he just got a little heated, got a little worked up, didn't quite know how to handle the trash talk, you know. So I know that's, you know, what brings that topic up. Yeah, I don't want to paint anybody into a corner right there, because there's times when I get salty, and there's times when I want to go to war, and there's times when I want to be very artsy with my martial arts. So it is what it is.
I feel like too, we sometimes, and like speaking to myself here too, forget to give people some grace sometimes. Sometimes people are saying these like high ideals, lofty things, but their life doesn't resemble it yet. Like maybe they're wanting to change. They're kind of like, I don't know, they're speaking it into existence. They're wanting to get it. You know what I mean? They're like, I've done that in my life before. So like, I often have thought sometimes people are fake, and I have to like check myself, like give them some fucking grace, you know? And then like people's horns are going to come out when their core values are crossed. So like the people in the comments with Gordon, like I bet like they take it so personally, and they feel like their core value is crossed hard maybe by Gordon or whoever else. And so that's when those horns come out. I feel like that's when you start to see, well, they seem much worse. You know, people have a hard time controlling themselves. I think in those situations, you'll see everybody's demons when those, and everybody's core values are different. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. So you cross that core value on somebody, you're going to see their demon come out most of the time, and like that major self-control. So I don't know, give them grace, I guess.
And everyone is different online. Like I have to admit, I love talking shit online. I love trolling a little bit. I've had some epic shit, but I don't go down to the supermarket and start a yelling match with somebody. You know what I mean? So if you meet me in the world, you might think, man, that guy's a really respectful and honorable person. But you meet me online, you might think I'm a little bit of a shit talker. So Gordon, you have to remember, Gordon is a young guy. He's young, you know. He's incredibly wealthy and famous, and he can kick everybody's ass. And he's actually still a pretty nice guy when you get to meet him, like in person. He's a pretty nice guy. But he doesn't suffer a lot of fools on his Instagram and so on, and he talks shit. And you know, I think if you base your whole understanding of this guy, like you think that he's gonna walk around and talk in real life the way that we all talk online, that's not the case for anybody.
It's all about leading by example. Who's walking the walk, not talking the talk? And so when I see a guy like Gordon Ryan, I know he's willing to face 5 black belts back to back to back. Like there's no doubt in my mind he'd face everybody on Grace, you know, Gracie Ball's top 5 black belts back to back to back in the same day, right? And to me, that gives you more leeway. You know, these guys that are, you know, these black belts are like instant message girls, like weird messages, and they're taking advantage of their students, and they're starting beefs that, you know, we know they're not going to take a match with that person because that's not what they do. They don't compete. They don't actively go out of the way to make themselves uncomfortable and test themselves. And so when you see guys like Roberto, when you see like guys like Gordon, when you see those guys go out there and put it on the line, they walk the walk, to me, those are the guys that, man, you know, you talk about respect and honor. They're not the ones talking about respect and honor. They're the ones just going out there and doing what they need to do to handle and take care of business.
But think about someone also. I mean, like, Roberto's never out there talking shit. Like, he's just walking the walk. Or someone like, you know, a Jean-Jacques Machado type person. Like, there are people who are out there that they're on that, like, enlightened saint level of martial arts. And then there's all the rest of us, you know? Not quite there.
All right. Y'all want to tally up the points?
Yeah. Start with who finished last. Start at number 4, because I want them to have a little moment to bathe in last.
Oh, no.
All right. Let's see here.
We need the Jeopardy music right here. Drum roll works.
Mary comes in last. Ah! 6 points.
Holding her right here for y'all.
That's my boy, Keelan. It's a boys' club.
I don't work here. Wait, how many points did Mary get?
She had 6.
6.
Coming in third place. Third place. We got.
Come on, Phil. Come on, Phil.
Phil Schwartz.
Yeah. Oh, all right. So here's for the money.
Oh, all right,
Bob Cardano.
I feel pretty good. I had a good episode. I was off last week.
All right. And the winner of episode.
Wait, is this the winner or second place?
I'm just going to announce the winner because then you'll know something.
Oh, my God.
All right. The winner is. I got you. It's a tie, actually. Brandon and Scaff both.
What?
No.
A tie.
Dude, no. We got to finish it off somehow.
I was about to say, I don't know what to do about this.
Lightning round. Lightning round.
Let the people in the chat choose it. Somebody's losing 5 Cardano right now.
Right now?
Somebody. Okay. Yeah, we're going to settle it right now.
Okay.
We'll let the people choose.
I did see a comment right here.
Okay.
It says, Brandon's speaking nothing but truth this episode.
That's called a tiebreaker where I'm from.
That's guy's probably Cardano. A bread eater.
I smell some Cardano.
That guy's a bread eater. I can't have a bread eater decide this. He might even be a made man.
Yeah, bread eater. Yeah, I don't know. We got to do something. We can't settle it on the mats. We rolled 2 rounds yesterday, and literally no one got a guard pass or a sweep. Like, we can't hardly settle it on the mats. We're going to have to figure out something else.
Yeah. All right. Well,
we'll come up with it. Just know I'm taking my money off of him. I'm going to get it.
All right. So I guess you both get 1 minute. You can share the screen. Say what you will.
What? Share the screen? Oh, Jesus. All right. I'll share with him. You can go first, Scaff.
Guys, I want you guys to know that next week I am on I'm on a podcast where I talked about the Anaconda choke. So BJJ Mental Models, they have, it's run by Steve and Matt Kwan. They are 2 really good black belts, and it's a really interesting show. I mean, they get deep into jiu-jitsu theory, technique, and I was on there to talk about the Anaconda choke. So it's an hour of me breaking down the Anaconda, what I think like the most important aspects are of it, how to set it up, where I think people go wrong, why I think it's one of the most important techniques that you should learn. So make sure you check out their podcast. It is super good. And yeah, Grappling Discourse. Check it out.
All right, Brandon.
www.brandonmc.ninja. If you want to see some of my instructional stuff, got a free course there for you to start with. Of course, I want you to right now think about subscribing to this YouTube channel and joining the channel as a member. That's going to give you access to all our hidden videos, my live streamed classes, doing 4 classes a week right now. You can join us live. Lowest membership tier is 99 cents. If you're on iPhone, you can't join. You got to do it on Android or desktop. 99 cents a month. Become a bread eater. Keelan, play that bread eater video. Show them the joys that they're in store for if they...
Smells like bread in here.
Don't you want that to happen in your life? Don't you want to see that video more? It makes me laugh every time. So, Mary, Phil, give everybody a shout out. Let's everybody do their Instagram or where you want people to follow on social. Give us one channel. Ready, go.
You can follow me on Instagram at Mary_A_B. That's Mary with one R.
Phil.
You can follow me at PhilSchwartz10P on Instagram.
Scaff.
Just listen to the Grappling Discourse podcast. That's all I care about.
And find me on all the channels at BrandonMC.Ninja. Make sure you can listen to this on the podcast as well. Subscribe on iTunes, podcast.